John chapter 14. We'll be in verses 25 and 26 this morning. Let's go ahead and read those verses. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." All those things that Jesus Christ said to his disciples. Christian truth is our subject this morning. How we can remember it, who helps us to remember Christian truth, all those many facets involved. Truth was very important in my family as I grew up. Contrary to what lots of psychologists would say today, in fact, I was just remembering the other day how 11 years ago, when I was a freshman in college, I went to a psychology class with one of my friends. And it was hilarious now that I think about it, because it wasn't my class. I was just filling out to see if I would take it. And in that class, they happened to be dealing with parents and children, parenting. And I learned that after going to that class that I should be a freak of nature, or I should be have a tremendously wounded inner child, because a lot of what they told parents not to do in that class, my parents did. You know, they said you should never scare a child. You should never say things like, "Just wait till your daddy gets home." But my mom used to say that to me all the time. They used to also say things like, "You shouldn't use physical striking or whatnot when you're disciplining your children." Man, I got whooped with a butter spoon. Whooped with a butter spoon and flowers on it to spite. In that class, they will tell you to reason with your child. Imagine discussing issues with a 4 or 5 year old. Let's reason. Now, there was no reasoning in my household. When I asked why, the answer was, "Because I said so." My parents didn't raise me as modern psychologists would tell us today. They raised me by biblical precepts. And I'm grateful for that. My inner child wasn't wounded. I'm okay. They did discipline me. If there was ever one thing that I could do that absolutely guaranteed a whooping, that was telling a lie. That was like the pet peeve for my parents. If I ever got caught telling a lie, I was spanked. And I'm glad that I was raised that way, with a respect for truth. With a healthy respect for truth. I grew up knowing that the truth was important and that I should be truthful. That I should not lie. And it's true today in our lives. Truth is precious, especially in this day and age. It's a rare and precious commodity. To be truthful is to be trustworthy. If we speak the truth, people will trust us. And just having the truth is such a precious commodity today. There's so much false things going on and things that would destroy our culture. Just the fact that we would need truth. Now, this morning what we're talking about is absolute truth. Perfect truth. We're not talking about fuzzy truth. We're not talking about truth that changes on you. We're not talking about truth that changes from culture to culture even, or from age to age. We're talking about timeless Christian truth that does not change regardless of culture, regardless of time. That's the truth we consider this morning. Absolute truth. Truth that Jesus spoke. Truth that we find in the pages of Scripture. That's the truth I want us to talk about this morning. Father, we ask that the Spirit of truth would be in our midst. And that you would teach us truth. Lord, your word is truth. We believe you. Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room this morning would be committed to knowing your truth, absorbing your truth into our lives, that we might live it and speak it to those around us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read those verses again. Verse 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. First thing I'd like us to consider this morning is the fact that the disciples, Jesus here is telling the disciples that there are things that they're going to need to remember. And He's going to guarantee that there's a Helper that's sent to them that allows them to remember things. The disciples needed to remember truth. Us as Christians need to remember truth. It's important to us. It's important that we remember the things that Christ told us in Scripture. We need to remember truth. Why? Because God wants us to. God wants us to remember truth. Jesus, you know, here He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know, many times Jesus would say something, or He would try to teach something to the disciples. And many times what He would get back is most likely 12 or 11 blank Monday morning stares. You know, the lights are on, but nobody's home there. They're not catching the truth. They're not catching the meaning. And, you know, Jesus is in a sense saying here, look, guys, I know I've told you all kinds of things. In your presence, I've spoken these things. All kinds of truths I've given you. Don't worry about trying to remember it all now, because in the future, I'm going to give you a Helper. I want you to remember these things. I want you to remember these truths. Okay? I will give you the Helper. He will help you remember these truths. I understand now that I'm hitting you with a lot. Lots of blank stares, lots of times with the disciples. In fact, they probably were staring with them with pretty blank stares right here in verse 25. Because last week we had talked about how, Jesus talked about how God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would indwell them. And a lot of that wouldn't have made much sense to them at this point. For Jesus hadn't even died and rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given. And so He's promising them, look, I've told you lots of things. You'll remember. I'm going to send someone to help you remember. God wants us to remember truth. He really does. He will send the Holy Spirit. He has sent the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Good thing, too. Good thing He did that. All the truth that we've seen Jesus tell the disciples right here in the upper room. The new commandment to love. The washing of feet. The indwelling of God. God with us, as we spoke of last week. The fact that He's coming back and that He's building a mansion for us in heaven. All those truths, not just in the upper room. Think back now to the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord's Prayer. Who could forget Matthew 24, all that Jesus told the disciples about the end times. All those truths. I am so thankful He made it possible for us to remember those things. Specifically that the disciples remember and that they could write it down later. God wants us to remember truth. Remember that. When you get frustrated, or if you get frustrated reading the Bible, God wants you to know truth. God wants you to remember it. He sent His Holy Spirit for that to take place. He's also given us word pictures like communion and baptism. Remember communion? What is it that Jesus says? Take this bread and eat, and do it in what? Remembrance of me. Or take this blood, this wine. This is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As you mentioned, we're going to have a baptism next week. And that's something that shows, it's a picture of truth. It's a picture of us being buried in Christ and raised to new life. Being taken free from our sins. So He wants us to know those truths. He also wants the Christian to remember truth for a few other reasons that I'd like to point out. Secondly, He wants us to know truth because Christian truth is absolute truth, and we need that truth today in this world. Don't you agree? People are groping for real truth, absolute truth. We live in a day where we have more information bombarding us than ever before. It's the information age, right? We're plugged into the information superhighway, the internet. Oh, we have all kinds of access to all kinds of information that we ever want. But with all that access, with all that information available, there's very little absolute truth that people take their hats off and hang it on. Right? I want you to know that we need to know Christian truth because it's absolute truth. It's absolute. You can count on it. It doesn't change from culture to culture. That's the truth we're speaking of. We live in an age of relativism. Relativism. What does that mean? In fact, you can have a more complicated phrase, existential relativism. I can't even say it, relativism. What it means basically is that lots of philosophers and people believe now that God is dead. There is no God. There's no meaning to God. There's no reason to believe in God. And because of that, there's no law of God that we are to obey. And so, man is called upon to make up his own rules, his own morals, his own stuff. And it's all relative. My truth is good for me, but it's not good for you. Somebody else's truth isn't good for another person. All relative. There are no absolutes. And that is so dangerous in the society. Such a dangerous thing that there wouldn't be absolute truths. In Christianity, there is absolute truths. Relativists tell us that truth changes from culture to culture. And they bring up examples like, well, in some tribes on the other side of the world, they believe in cannibalism. We don't believe in cannibalism here in America. There's obviously some relativism going on. There's some different truths. I would say to that tribe of cannibals, would they eat their own mom? Would they eat their own brother? Will they eat their own people? No, they wouldn't eat their own people. Cannibalism to them is really a violence against people that don't belong to their tribe. Right? So there is... these different relativists will bring up these extreme circumstances in different cultures. Let me ask you, I say that there is absolute truth, there is absolute moral in every country all over the planet. Today in America, we're outraged over McVeigh, his bombing of the Oklahoma City building. And if you ask many people, they'll say, yeah, he deserves death. Some don't. Some say he just deserves life in jail. Either way, Americans are outraged at that act and they want him either dead or punished severely, don't they? Show me any culture on this planet, any culture, that would take a guy like McVeigh and honor him. Call him a hero. Any culture. There's an absolute truth there that people don't like to be betrayed. People don't like to be have their own people killed. You know what I'm getting at? There is some absolute truth there. Show me any culture that honors somebody who lies to you or betrays you. There is absolute truth that we can count on in this book, and that's what I would now like to get to. It's dangerous not having absolute truth because people are getting hurt. There's issues that we speak of in America. Like, I'm thinking of safe sex and AIDS and all that kind of stuff. And you see people discussing this, and yet, you know, we need to do this and do this, and they have all their debates over what man should do. When the Bible says, in absolute truth, sex should only be in the context of marriage. That's it. Final. Absolute truth. Man, I'll tell you, relativism is dangerous. It plays with people's lives. It allows you to make up your own truths. Christians have a need to remember truth because God wants us to, because it is absolute truth, and we need that. Also, we need to remember truth because it keeps us from sin. It keeps us from sin. Who can forget what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 9 and 11? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so we speak of going after this. The Christian is to absorb truth, is to remember truth as an offensive attack on sin. That we would be so filled with truth, with Christian truth, with the words that Jesus spoke, that when that time came, that opportunity for us to sin, we would remember that and it would keep us from us. Many times we're afraid to go to the Bible, we're afraid to go to truth when we're sinning, aren't we? How many of you are sometimes afraid to open this book? Because you know that God's going to tell you the truth about something. I love what Dwight L. Moody said. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Let's let this book keep us from sin. Let's put it in our heart. Let's keep going to it. Let's keep doing it. We need to remember Christian truth also because it keeps us close to Jesus Christ. It keeps us close to Jesus Christ. Do you remember the letter that Jesus wrote to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? This was the lukewarm church where he says, "Hey, you're very busy. I know you've done great things. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love." And so then in verse 5 of chapter 2, he says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Man, if we remember Christian truth, it'll keep us close to Jesus Christ. The church of Ephesus left their first love. They got too busy. And the way back to that love was to remember. Remember what Jesus did for you. And then repent and do the first works over again. To remember truth. To remember what Jesus did for us. To remember that I was once in a pit of sin. On a one-way ticket to hell. And Jesus picked me up out of there. Changed my life. Oh, remembering that truth. Keeping that spiritual truth close to our hearts. Keeps us close to our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a need for Christians to remember truth. Now, we see this in the resources that God provides. Jesus says here in verse 26, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." I now want to speak of the aid of the Christian to, first of all, know truth, and then secondly, remember it. The Holy Spirit plays a role in both those. He is our helper. He will come and teach us truth and remember all things. This is a promise from Jesus. First, let's consider the helper as one who teaches us all things. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He is sent from the Father in my name, Jesus says. In the name of Jesus. Now last week we discussed about how the Holy Spirit was another helper like Jesus. All right, just like Jesus walked for 3 years with those disciples and helped them. The Holy Spirit would come later and permanently indwell believers and help us walk with us just as if Jesus were walking with us today from a spiritual perspective. One of the things about Jesus Christ was he was a fantastic teacher, wasn't he? He had crowds coming around him. I remember John chapter 7 when his visit to the Feast of Tabernacles. It says that the Pharisees came and they marveled at how good at teaching this guy was, how great he was at knowing the Scripture. And they knew that he wasn't learned. He didn't have a theological degree of any seminary. They were amazed at his teaching. Many times people, the Scripture actually says that the people that listened to Jesus as he taught were amazed. All right? And that no one ever spoke like that one did. He was a fantastic teacher. The Holy Spirit is another teacher just like Jesus. And you know what? He's with us. He's our own personal tutor. The Holy Spirit living with us. Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to leave. That's all right. I will send the Holy Spirit. He will continue to teach you all things." Your own personal tutor. Walking with Jesus. Being taught by Him. He'll be our guide as well, as we get into more in John chapter 16. He will teach us all things. Now, what does that mean when Scripture here says He will teach us all things? Does that mean that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us quantum physics? Does that mean He's going to teach us all about various philosophies of men? He could. He could teach us quantum physics. I know He could. But I think what He's referring to here is truth. He will teach us all things. And the rest of that, the end of that verse, remembrance of all things that I said to you. The context here is He will bring to remembrance all those things that Jesus has said to the disciples. He will bring to our remembrance, He will teach us all things concerning truth. All the things that we know about Jesus Christ are found in this book. And so He will bring us knowledge and teach us all things that refer to those truths. As we're going to talk about later, the Holy Spirit was active in writing this book. And so this is truth that He would want us to know. Because of that, because the Holy Spirit wants to teach us all things that pertain to truth, and most of that is found in the Word of God, I believe it's important that we go through the Word of God repeated times. Now, there's a lot of people that I've run across in my life who, they get bored with this book. Have you ever met somebody who got bored with the Bible as a Christian? I have. I've met somebody that's, you know, they get into the prophecy thing or whatnot. I've had a friend of mine who got into the prophecy thing and thought he was a modern day prophet and all this, that God spoke through him. And he told me these very words. He said, "You know, Terry, I used to think that all Christianity was prayer and Bible reading. But now I've moved on. Now I'm a prophet." I've had somebody say that to me. How anybody could be bored with this book? We read through it and then we begin reading through it again. It's repetition. If you have a problem with going through, like many times we'll hear the same things over and over. I believe it's important that we hear the same things over and over. You know why? How many times a day are you told to live for yourself? How many times a day, men, are you told to just go have an affair? How many times a day are we told through media to live ungodly lives? You look at our commercials. You look at our TV programs. You look at some of the things our peers say at work. Over and over and over and over again, the message is live for yourself. We come to this book, and this book says, live for others. This book says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. This book says things like, live for God. This book says things like, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. Boy, we need to get that repetitively in our brains to remember it, because we're given all these other messages all day, every day it seems. So we need this book. We need this Christian truth. Several years ago, a reader of the British Weekly wrote a letter to the editor as follows. This is great. Somebody wrote into this British Weekly magazine. "Dear sir, I notice that ministers seem to set a great deal of importance on their sermons and spend a great deal of time in preparing them. I have been attending services quite regularly for the past 30 years, and during that time, if I estimate correctly, I have listened to no less than 3,000 sermons. But to my consternation, I discover I cannot remember a single one of them. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitably spent on something else. Sincerely, whoever." You can imagine what this did. The letter kicked up quite an editorial storm of angry responses for weeks. The pros and cons of sermons were tossed back and forth until finally one letter ended the debate. The letter said, "My dear sir, I have been married for 30 years. During that time, I've eaten 32,850 meals, mostly of my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I have discovered that I cannot remember the menu of a single meal. And yet, I received nourishment from every one of them. I have the distinct impression that without them I would have starved to death long ago. I love that. What a witty response to that. But yeah, we come, we feed on the Word of God. It's a meal, it's our nourishment, it's truth. To constantly keep putting truth, Christian truth, in our minds. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things, truth. He teaches us through the Word of God on a consistent basis. Because of that, because the Holy Spirit was promised to us that He would teach all things, and that many times that is done, that He does that through the Word of God primarily. In this fellowship, Calvary Chapel, Sun City, we will be committed to that. We will be committed to the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Bible. That will be our highest priority. In fact, I want to say that as pastor, as long as I'm pastor of Calvary Chapel, Sun City, we will teach from the Bible. We will teach from the Word of God because the Holy Spirit teaches us all things, teaches us truth, and that truth is found in the Word of God. So that's what I want to do. That's what we want to do with this church. We want it to be a Bible-centered church. We want to be taught the truth, that we can remember it, that it would nourish us, and that we would be able to be changed because of it. As we teach the Bible here at Calvary Chapel, Sun City, we're going to do it logically. We're not going to just do it, we're not going to pick topics. You know what I mean? You ever heard what a topical preacher, someone who comes in and just has a topic that they speak on, rather than going through the Scriptures on a book-by-book basis, word after word, line after line, precept upon precept. And the reason we want to do it that way, expository, go through a book beginning at verse 1 all the way through the end, is that we see everything in the context of how the Holy Spirit wrote it. All right? And it's going to allow me not to write my favorite topics. You know, I could come in here and, you know, just keep talking about certain things that Terry wants to talk about. Hey, if we go through the Bible, you know, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, God's calling the subject matter, isn't He? And so that's why we're doing that. It's hilarious. A couple of weeks ago, I was really thrown off guard by this. Somebody who had attended our fellowship wanted to have lunch. And so we had lunch and he says, Terry, we really like the fellowship and all, but you don't teach tithing enough. I was completely blown away by that. You don't teach tithing enough. You need to really hit your people with tithing. I couldn't believe it. Because normally the opposite's true. You preach tithing too much. I said, well, you know, we make mention of the agape box and you can give if you'd like. What's wrong with that? And he said, well, I believe that you need to give to God so that you'll get 100% back. 100-fold, and you're robbing the people of God. And I said, well, you know what? We will teach tithing when we get to it. When we get to that chapter. You know? I don't have to come in here and, you know, preach tithing all the time. I'll give as much emphasis to tithing as the Word of God does. The Word of God gives more emphasis on the deity of Jesus Christ. Maybe we should teach on that subject every day. Alright? So we want to be very careful. We're going to go through in an expository manner the Word of God. We are going to do all Scripture as well. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we're not just going to stay in the New Testament. The Old Testament history, New Testament history, we'll do it all because we believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We want truth to be taught here at Calvary Chapel, Sun City. We want it. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. We believe that that's done primarily through the Holy Spirit, and we also believe it's primarily done through people who have the gift of teaching. And so, we will give emphasis here to teaching the Scripture. A lot of times, you're preached at, Christian, aren't you? You go to a church and you're preached at, you're slammed, or you're told the gospel, how to become a Christian every single Sunday. You're evangelized every Sunday. We will emphasize teaching. I believe church is for Christians. I believe church is for Christians. And God wrote, the Holy Spirit wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We want to teach Scripture. We want to teach truth. We want to teach Christians truth from the Scripture that they may be equipped to do the ministry. That they may be equipped to do the ministry. Sure, evangelism will happen. I pray that it does. I want it to happen here. But our emphasis will be teaching the Word of God, because that is truth. As a teacher, then, the best way to describe me is kind of as I've been told by my pastor back home, we're cooks. Pastor teachers are really cooks. I spend all week putting together meals from this book. That's what I do. Ask my wife. I spend a lot of time at it too. And I look to adding salt, and I look to adding pepper, and I look to adding lots of meat from this book. For you, it's for you. That is my serving. That's what I do for the body of Christ. That's what I do for Calvary Chapel Sunsetting. That you might be fed. That you might be equipped for ministry. That you might be given a healthy dose of truth. We believe the Spirit wants to teach truth. Do it through His Scripture. And so that's what we're committed to. Also in this point, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. I want us all to apply that to our families this morning. Did you know that the Holy Spirit wants to teach truth in your family? In your family? Now, I don't know what it is. Parents. Many parents are afraid that they don't know how to teach their children things from the Bible or things about God. And so they say, well, it's time to start bringing the kids to church. We need to get them in Sunday school and let them learn some stuff. I would say to you, parent, you need to teach your children truth. It's not that hard. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to give them expository messages like I try to do every week. Read them stories from the Bible. You know, the Holy Spirit will teach them truth. The Holy Spirit teaches them truth. Hey, all you need to do, read Scripture to your children. Explain the things of God. Do that. Do that. Special word for you fathers today. Because I want you guys to know, God wants to use you to teach truth to your children and to your family. There are memories that burn in the hearts of your children of you. Acts that they will forever know, ever remember. And I say that because there are memories burned in my life forever as to what my father did for me. I remember him getting up and going to work. I remember times where he wasn't the happiest camper. I remember him struggling through life, struggling through jobs. But you know what? There's memories that I have of sitting on his lap and having him read the Chronicles of Narnia to me by C.S. Lewis, which is an allegorical presentation of the gospel. I remember my dad taking me through the book of Romans. I remember my dad taking me through the book of Proverbs. And I learned truth. And guess what else I learned? Guess what kind of opportunities that presented? In going through the book of Proverbs, My father was able to give me a biblical perspective of things like sex. Of things like working hard. Of things like loving one another. I remember that. God used my father through His Holy Spirit to teach me truth from His Word. I have memories of that that will forever burn. Fathers, I challenge you, do the same. It does not take a theological degree. All it takes is a little bit of time. You know, somebody's going to teach the kids truth. Somebody's going to teach them. As parents, we need to expose them to the Word of God, that He might teach them truth as well. Beautiful, beautiful testimony from Gail Irwin, what he says about his father. Listen, this is Gail Irwin is a minister out of Calvary Chapel in California. He's a great guy. He travels around the country and he speaks. He wrote a book called The Jesus Style, and in The Jesus Style, this book, he gives a testimony about his father. He says, "When I was 6 years old, my father was severely injured in an airplane accident and was left partially paralyzed and brain damaged. My mother then became the breadwinner of the house. Since my mother was often not there as she attempted to make a living, and my dad was not there physically or mentally, the stage was set for family failure. But our family did not fail. Through difficult times, both parents stayed faithful to God and to us. Prayer, belief, steadfastness, and love surrounded us. Money and fine homes didn't. When my father died, my two brothers and I stood in front of the casket and made the following statements to the friends who had gathered for the funeral service. This is what they said. They said, our father did not leave a financial empire for us to carry on. Many things that a dad normally does with sons, ours was unable to do. He was unable to teach us many things that a dad normally teaches, but he did leave us something that he had. He left us with a love of God, a love for the Bible, a love for people, an understanding of worship, and an inability to hate. We feel that he has left us only those things that will last. So we stand before you as his sons and declare publicly that we will follow his God." What a wonderful thing for kids, for sons and daughters to say about parents, about fathers. We stand before you as his sons and declare publicly, we will follow his God. We will follow his God. And so fathers, expose your children to truth. Expose your children to the Bible. It's not that hard. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will teach us all things. Let's move on. The Holy Spirit will also bring to our remembrance. First of all, He gets us truth into our minds. He will teach us all things. But He will also then bring to our remembrance all the things that Jesus said to them. Remembrance occurs 12 times in Scripture. Hupomimnesko is the Greek word. Wow, what a weird word. Hupomimnesko is the Greek word. And it literally means to cause one to remember. To put one in mind of. I bring this out, I point this out to you because listen. It is an outside agent actively causing you to remember. Actively causing you to remember. That excites me. When he says the helper will come and bring to remembrance things, it's not like this is our work where we're sitting here, oh, I know I read that somewhere, and trying to remember. The Holy Spirit actually places in your mind, causes you to remember those things. The Holy Spirit walking with us, indwelling in us, causes us to remember truth. I love that. We're not remembering on our own. He's helping. He's bringing those thoughts to our lives. Now, we saw this happen radically in the life of the disciples, didn't we? Here in the upper room, they do have blank faces. There's a lot of things they don't understand. But when the Holy Spirit would come on the day of Pentecost, when He came and upon them, these guys completely changed, didn't they? As we look at their career and their testimonies in the book of Acts, how they changed, how they boldly spoke the truth. All you have to do is look at Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. Just how bold he was. Peter was a completely different person. He wasn't embarrassed to tell servant girls that he hadn't been with Jesus, remember? When Jesus predicted that he would deny him 3 times, Peter did that in front of servant girls. He was wimpy. After he got the Holy Spirit back, though, he changed. He boldly taught the truth. The depth of their sermons, there just seems like this depth to their sermons. Their understanding of the law, their understanding of the truth. The Holy Spirit quickened their minds to remember truth. Also, the disciples changed, but the other thing that's real exciting about verse 26, and I've used it often to people, in explaining the inspiration of the Holy Bible, in explaining the inspiration of this book, of the Scripture. This book was written primarily by those 11 disciples, by the disciples, by apostles as well, Paul and Luke. Now, they couldn't have physically remembered all these truths. They couldn't have done it on their own, could they? Here, Jesus Christ says, I will send another helper. He will cause you to remember all these things. And they wrote them down. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome that the Holy Spirit would be sent, would not only change their lives so that they spoke the truth radically, they'd write the truth. And we know that the Holy Spirit used men, people, to write the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." This book was a product of men who were being moved by the Holy Spirit. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was God-breathed. The Holy Spirit brought this truth to the remembrance. The Holy Spirit brought truth to their remembrance. What about in our lives today? Does He still do that, Christian? Can you think back to times in your life where He brought just the right verse to your mind at just the right time? He brought just the right verse to your mind at just the right time, or to apply to that situation that you needed. He brings to our remembrance Christian truth when we're in persecution, times of trial. He brings Christian truth to our mind. He causes us to remember when we need to speak the right thing to the right person at the right time. Because of that, Christian, let me challenge you this morning. Expose yourselves more and more to His truth. Expose yourself. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things and wants us to remember these things of truth, but we need to expose ourselves to that truth. We need to expose ourselves to the Bible. We need to have Him impart truth to us through that. God wants us to remember Christian truth. The Holy Spirit will teach us truth through God's Word. The Holy Spirit will help us remember truth. In conclusion, let me ask you another question. Are you willing to change your life according to Christian truth? Are you willing? Are you willing to do that? When the Holy Spirit teaches us something, we best apply it, huh? We best apply it. It's not like we pick and choose which truths we want to believe. Christian, we need to believe that our course alters, our beliefs alter according to this book. According to this book. There was an officer in the Navy who had always dreamed of commanding a battleship. He finally achieved that dream and was given commission of the newest and proudest ship in the fleet. One stormy night, as the ship plowed through the seas, the captain was on duty on the bridge. When off to the port,
he spotted a strange light rapidly closing with his own vessel. Immediately, he ordered the signalman to flash the message to the unidentified craft. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Only a moment had passed before the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Determined that his ship would take a back seat to no other, the captain snapped out the order to be sent. Alter course 10 degrees. I am the captain. The response being backed, alter your course 10 degrees. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Now, infuriated now, the captain grabbed the signal light with his own hands and fired off, alter course, I am a battleship. The reply came back, alter your course, I am a lighthouse. I'm a lighthouse. No matter how big or important any of us think we are, God's word stands forth as an unchanging beacon. All other courses must be altered to His. All other courses must be altered to His. His truth is absolute. His word is absolute. It doesn't change. It's not fuzzy. Oh, how we need truth like that. How we need it to be permeating our lives. How we need it to be altering our path, altering the decisions that we make. God wants us to remember Christian truth. He sent a helper who would teach us all things. He would send a helper that after He teaches us such things, bring that to our remembrance in those times that we need Him. And as believers and followers in Jesus Christ, we alter our lives according to the truth that He does bring and teach us. And so let's be committed to that. Let's be committed to that in our own personal lives, in the fellowship of Calvary Chapel Sun City, and in your family. In your family, teach truth. Teach truth. Let the Holy Spirit teach truth. Father, we're grateful for this time. Lord, we're grateful that You have given us something to live by, something solid and concrete. Lord, that we don't have to grope around looking for things to explain our lives or give us meaning. Lord, You've given us all truth. You will teach us all truth by Your Holy Spirit. We're grateful and we thank You for that. We thank You for this morning.